September, we had a flip chart here, and we made a list of all the names of God that we were aware of. And as a church, we've been spending time looking at some of those names in the Bible. And why are we doing this? So that we can expand our vision of God, so that we can grow deeper in our knowledge of the God who we worship and give our allegiance to that God. What kind of God? How big? How great? And how many surprises? Because if we look deeper into God, we'll often be surprised. I love words, you might have noticed. I'm a very wordy person. And there's something that happened in our family 20 years ago that still makes us laugh to this day. So my little baby grandson, Peter, who's 6'6" and 24, was about 3 at the time. And he came up to me and tapped me and he said, "Nanny, do you know what generation is?" And I thought, "Oh, I know that." I'm glad he didn't ask me something about Star Wars or something I wouldn't have known. So I grabbed some photo albums, I got a piece of paper, and we started with Nanan, which is what the kids called my mum. And we started with Nanan, and Peter said, "I miss Nanan." And I said, "So do I, sweetheart, all the time." And then I got me and my two sisters and my brother and that generation, and I put us down, and we got some photos in the album, and we found it. And then I went to his mum's generation and all my nieces and nephews, so there's all of their cousins, and we have photos of loads of them, and we had that, and that's another generation. And then I said, "And then Charlie and you and your new baby sister Abby," who's moving into her first house on Friday, we hope, "and your new baby sister Abby, you're the new generation, and your dad." There's loads more in that generation now. And I even have, as I said earlier, a great great nephew now. So way to go. And so we're writing these down, and I'm showing him the generations, and we're looking at photos. And then he did that little thing, you know, that kids do, toddlers, and he went, "But Nanny, how does that make the rockets go whoosh into the sky?" And my David got it right away and burst out laughing. And he said, "Come here, love, Granddad will talk to you about that." And he proceeded to tell him about the generation of power in rockets and engines. And two words, two meanings for the same word. Generation. Of course, generation means the generations and your family and chronology or whatever the right word is. And generation always means making an engine go, or as Peter was interested in, making a rocket go whoosh, as he put it, into the sky. And that is exactly like some of the words we find in the Bible, because the Bible was written in Hebrew and in Greek, and sometimes we have to explain a word, or we have to take it and put it in its context in order to fully understand it. If we get a word only half right, then we miss out on some of the fullness of God. And if we take it off in the wrong direction, like I did with my photo albums and my family tree, then we just confuse everybody, not just little three-year-old lads. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, David introduced us to El Shaddai, one of the names of God in the Bible. El Shaddai means all-sufficient one. And David told us, absolutely 100% correct, I hope you still remember it, it means that God is enough. Wherever it is that we are, whatever we're going through, God is enough. The name El Shaddai appears in the Bible 48 times in the Hebrew Old Testament, and it is, I've got my finger on this so I don't say them wrong, and the third most common name used for God. And with that in mind, with the memory of my silly mistake that we still laugh about, yes, God is enough. I want to reaffirm and reinforce everything that David said to us. Yes, God is enough. Yes, God is the all-sufficient one. And then I want to look at an aspect of El Shaddai that language and culture have hidden from God's people for generations, if I might say. I want to enable us to grasp and celebrate more of God who is enough. Translated into English from the original Hebrew, El Shaddai for a long time has been translated in a lot of our Bibles as God Almighty. Almighty. God who is far off. God who is over all. God who is unreachable. God who is male, because historically only men held might, let alone the power to be almighty. And while this was a tradition for most of human history, there are very, very few Hebrew scholars today who would agree with that translation. That translation of El Shaddai as God Almighty has been absolutely discredited. The Bible still calls God, God Almighty. There's other words for that. But to translate El Shaddai as God Almighty is to twist the meaning. So let's put it into context. El in Hebrew means God. Never been disputed. Everybody's happy. Everybody's agreed. There's no problem. El, God. Shaddai in Hebrew means mountain or breast. I'm putting my finger on the words here just so I don't miss anything. In ancient Hebrew, in Syrian, in the Amorite language, and in Bronze Age Tuttle, I read that in two books that I've got a great respect for, but I don't know what it means. These areas, these languages and writings came from right across the Middle East in ancient times. And in each one of these, Shaddai means breast. Put the two together and you've got a mountain. Tall, strong, little bit scary, beautiful, incredible. And breasts, sustaining, feeding, nurturing, nourishing. And we are introduced to a God who describes himself to his own people as a strong, sustaining mother who lovingly cares for and feeds and protects their newborn child. God is enough. When I say that God describes himself as the breasted one, I'm noting that each time El Shaddai appears in the Old Testament, in Genesis in particular, it's related to fertility and children. When God says, I am El Shaddai, he goes on to tell them, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And he says this to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And then when God speaks to Moses, we've had these readings, and God says, I called myself El Shaddai to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, but I didn't make myself fully known to them. God's story of covenant moves on. It goes deeper, it moves further. And God tells Moses, I am. The name Yahweh is introduced and becomes the most frequently used name of God. So as God begins to introduce and reveal God's self to us, God begins this revelation with the name El Shaddai, the God of the breasts and womb. God says, I have breasts and womb. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, I can't believe she just said that. Did she mean to say that out loud? Yes, I did. Breasts and womb are woman's stuff. We don't talk about God like that, but God did. I'm going to read the ninth of the 48 places where we find God speak of himself as El Shaddai. If you want to look, it's from Genesis 49, Genesis 49, verse 25. Now, this is Jacob, the one with the coat of many colours, approaching the end of his life. He called his sons to bless them. He had daughters as well, but they didn't get called for a blessing. And Jacob says to them, because of our father's God who helps us, because of El Shaddai, who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above, blessings of the deep that lie below, blessings of the breast and womb. God of the breasts and womb is revealed to us in the Bible by God, passed on to God's people from whom that revelation was made. And sometimes it's like this. Genesis 49, 25, it's really blatant and unmistakable. And other times, it's been obscured by cultures who wanted to say that God is male, when it says in the Bible that God is neither male nor female. It says that when God made humans, God made male and female in the image of God. Every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a feminine name given female pronouns. But we still talk about the Holy Spirit as him. You know, I've been really taxed recently. I don't mean the Inland Revenue tax, but it's taken a lot out of me. When I see these influencers, influencers who are actually making a small fortune out of persuading people that men should be over and above and women should be down below, and women should actually, that they tell young lads that these women should be blamed for all of their woes. They tell young lads that they need to dominate women, to disparage women, and all the time they're making themselves filthy, flaming rich on the back of those innocent young lads who they're leading astray. And how did we get a world in which this was normal? We need to pray for young men in this nation. We need to pray for young men in this nation. The all-sufficient fullness of God has been denied to too many people for too much of history. God is enough. God is all-sufficient. And God has already said, I am the God of the breasts and womb. God gives us life. God provides for us. God gives us nature. God gives us comfort. God gives us protection. God feeds us. And God cares for each and every person, including the influencers. Why don't we pray for them? God wants us to know that, like any healthy, loving mother cares for his child, so I will care for you, says God, the Lord of hosts. This is what God is like. And God used the name El Shaddai to make that utterly and purely and deeply clear to us. And then this God took flesh and came to dwell among us for a while. In the Greek, where it says God came to dwell among us for a while, it uses the word to tabernacle. God came and tabernacle. Tabernacle was a tent. God pitched his tent with us for a while. And as I've been looking at people from Gaza going back to where their homes used to be, and there's tents along the road, and my head goes to, and God took flesh and came to tabernacle with us for a while. God is with us. And therefore, Jesus, God in human flesh, is also El Shaddai. When Jesus lived among us in the flesh, he demonstrated power over sickness, power over death, power over sin, power over demonic power. And when Jesus calmed the storm on the lake that time, the disciples said, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Jesus fed 5,000 men and an undisclosed number of women and children with five little sardine butties. It was Jesus feeds us. Jesus called lepers and sinners into his embrace. We were thinking about this in Kingfisher on Thursday. Just like El Shaddai would do, where a child began to feel weak or weary because they'd been excluded as lepers and sinners were. Jesus gives life. In the Gospels, Nicodemus and Jesus having a chat, and Paul talks about this in his writings in the Bible, they say, "Can someone enter their mother's womb and be born again?" Of course not. But we can know new life in Christ. As we die to the sin of our former life and as we rise again to be born again in Jesus, that's what the baptism of believers symbolizes. El Shaddai, the God of the breasts, the God of the womb who gives life and nurtures life. And the fullness of this description of God matters so much. It helps us to know some of the rounded fullness of God. It helps us to appreciate how the words and actions of Jesus relate to what God told us in ancient times about himself. It gives us an example of how each one of us can live fulfilled lives with purpose as we seek to follow Jesus in faith and discipleship. Discipleship is walking in the footsteps and teaching of the teacher, rabbi, of Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we listen and learn to all that God has revealed to us, the obvious and the obscure. God who is enough. God who is the all-sufficient one. God who is strong and mighty like a mountain. God of the breasts and womb, who holds us, who nurtures us, who protects us, who feeds us, and loves us without condition. You know, as we hear the different names of God over the past few weeks and as the weeks ahead, we'll know more of the riches of God who saves us. And as we do, I pray that all of us together will learn and appreciate more of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.